Off them on the site.
All right, we're going to go. We're out of here. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne on FUBAR Radio.
Stay home and chill. Keeping you company during the coronavirus.
What's going on, people? This is Marcel Somerville, and I host the Michael and Marcel Show on FUBAR Radio every Wednesday from 4 till 6 p.m. I hate the coronavirus, and I know you do too. So what we need to do as a nation is stick together by staying at home, sanitizing our hands, and listening to the radio. FUBAR Radio, to be exact. And I know you're locked in right now because you're listening to Stay at Home and Chill, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
And Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio now by Corin, the last skeptic.
What would you like to be called?
Corin's fine.
Corin, yeah. Okay.
Oh, I got your present.
Whoa.
What?
Yes!
Batman Superman candy sticks that I bought from the shop over there.
Whoa, thank you so much.
We're informed.
There's a tattoo in there.
Oh my god. I'm going to save that tattoo for a special occasion. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. No one's ever got me a present before, so this
is nice.
You've
been given some.
Yeah, ever. Ever.
You're the last skeptic. I'm skeptical of that. Why are you called the last skeptic?
A bunch of different reasons. That's it. That's the end of the conversation.
Okay. And you do a podcast. Do you want to tell us a little bit about
do.
That?
Yeah, it's called the Thanks for Trying podcast.
How many listeners do you get?
At least five. Right. At least.
Oh, so more than us. So yeah. It's actually... Okay.
At least five. One of them's me. I listen back again. Yeah, I really enjoy listening.
How many have you done?
I've done 30 episodes.
Do you always listen back?
Well, I have to edit them because I get my guests really drunk and then they say stuff that could get them in trouble and then I have to take out what they've said.
Do you have to send them a copy of it?
So yes, can I do. Say. And some people, like I'm sure a friend of all of yours, Doc Brown, has to come in and sit with me and listen back to the edit because a lot of the time we're very drunk.
Right. Does he do all of them or he's just done one of them?
He's done three of them. He's a regular, a returning guest.
So The Last Skeptic has a podcast called Thanks for Trying. Mm-hmm. Previous guests have included Taika Waititi, Ed Skrein.
Skrein. Star of Deadpool. Skrein? He was in Deadpool opposite Ryan Reynolds. He was the English villain in that. But he's also in the new Maleficent film. He's killing it.
All right. Catherine Ryan, Ramesh Ranganathan. He's hard to pin down. And Doc Brown.
That's a great guest.
Who's your worst guest?
Who's my worst guest? Mm. I don't know. I hate them all. I hate them all personally, but I'm glad they do the podcast.
Obviously. Right.
Yeah, I hate them all so deeply. I wish it could just be me with two other versions of me as my guests.
Yes.
But then, obviously, then I have to get these guests in so people will listen. Mm-hmm. But then I'm really tempted to just edit them out, but then have me talking in their place.
You could edit them in any way you like. That you can make them look awful. Mm.
Yeah, I could do, yeah.
Or do you do that?
Yeah, you've done that. Yeah, yeah. I've made them all racist.
Terrible people.
And, yeah. What's the point in having people on if you can't manipulate their content?
Absolutely.
I'm hoping that's what's going to happen with me today. I'll be disappointed if you don't.
This is live.
Live.
What?
I know.
Yeah. So, no, there's a perfect way around that. Just to be a cunt.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So continue being me.
Just be yourself.
Yeah, being myself. All right.
Buffalo wing soda. Can we get some of this stuff shipped over, do you think?
We're getting it by the end of the show.
I've seen those. When you drive between Vegas and LA, there's this one place that sells all of these flavoured sodas that are currently showing on the screen.
Ranch dressing soda, peanut butter
and
chili.
It's got all of them. It's an alien outpost of a place. It's themed. They've got like giant aliens. They've got the world's largest thermometer.
Is this on Route 66?
No, it's not. It's just on the main, whatever the main highway is from Vegas.
I've driven from Vegas to the Grand Canyon on Route 66.
Yeah, very beautiful drive.
From Vegas to where are you driving?
To LA.
Yeah.
World's biggest thermometer.
And how big is it? Because it probably wouldn't have to be that big.
It's quite big.
Yeah, it's world's biggest thermometer.
It's fucking huge.
It's massive. Of, yeah. And the worst thing about it is it's an anal thermometer. Fucking hell.
Worst thing or best thing?
Well, come on. Get a couple of buffalo wing sodas down there. You don't have any ones. If you could make a soda, Heinz tomato ketchup soda.
Mm.
I'm not even fucking kidding. Oh, Ed Sheeran's advertising ketchup now.
Does he need more money? Sorry, I'm just putting it out there. Does he need more money?
What do you mean, does he need more money? He probably didn't get paid for it, mate. He's probably just really...
He's doing it for the cause.
Ed Sheeran on ketchup.
And also with really large shoulders and no neck.
That's a small bottle of ketchup, isn't it?
And he's named it Edchup.
Edchup.
Tomato Edchup. That doesn't even work.
It doesn't even work.
They should have got someone whose name rhymed with ketchup to make that work.
Or tomato.
Or someone called Tom.
Tom.
No, but then the pun wouldn't really be that obvious, would it?
Call it Tom Ketchup.
Tom Tommy Ketchup. Hardy Chup.
They should have got Tommy Walsh from Ground Force.
Yes.
And they would have called it Tommy Ketchup. And that would have been perfect.
I'd have bought that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'd they would have saved some money as well, I reckon.
I think so. How much do you think he's getting paid for this?
I don't know. I would have preferred the whole campaign if it had been Daddy's sauce. Ed's tattoo. Did he do that for Heinz?
That's his real tattoo that he had done before the advert. Or he got paid to have a tattoo.
Wow. He's got something.
Is that why he's been long associated with tomato ketchup?
Because of his hair colour.
He seems like a real laugh, this Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Oh,
a lot
God.
Of fun.
Yeah. We'd love to have him on.
If he wants to come on.
If
Ed
Sheeran wants to come on,
he's probably listening. Yeah, he's probably listening.
We'd love to have him on and explain himself.
Joey Page on FUBAR Radio.
What an absolute juggernaut, some real rock and roll royalty. I'm very, very excited to be joined now by our very special guest, Anton Newsome from the Brian Jonestown Massacre, as well as all the many millions of other things that he does. Anton, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's a real honour to have you on the show. Where are you today, Anton?
I'm in Berlin.
You're in Berlin, and that's where you've lived for a long time now, about 10 years, is that right?
Over a decade.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? What made you decide to move there in the first place?
You know, it's kind of a mixed thing. There's political reasons and there's other things. You know, I saw the writing on the wall a long time ago, the direction that everything was going. I just figured this is the last place that they could act like fascists, even if they were recording our phone calls and whatever they got to do, keeping track of the bad guys, that life would go on because of the history and the legacy of National Socialism and the Stasi and all that stuff, that people are really on guard about civil liberties, and I like that. There's a lot of personal freedom here. Even though on a civil level, you have to register where you live, and there's lots of tabs kept on you. I don't find it obtrusive, I understand.
And obviously the complete opposite to what's going on in your native America.
Yeah, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous to touch on that briefly. People think that it's just there. This is happening in Australia and other places too.
You are so entrenched in it, and you go through it with a fine tooth comb, and you're very, very invested in it, or talking about fascism and all that kind of stuff. Do you find that that drives you on to making work, or do you find that that is like something that almost wears you out a little bit?
If you look at like growing up in Surrey or something, or in London, the way that the class system imprints has an effect on you lifelong, right? You feel that. It's a completely different thing growing up in a place like I grew up, where there's actual real Nazis entrenched in it. Yeah. Since World War II. I mean, they captured Nazis. They became the space program. And those guys kept working, and the ideology is a part of our government. Except now, it's like this hybrid, where they're really doing it. They're really using the mechanisms of the propaganda and riling people up, and it goes right down the line. Now, it's not the guys with the funny mustaches. It's more where the corporation merges with this hybrid of the state. It had a great effect on me. When I was 6 years old, I realized very quickly, even with my family owning all this stuff in Newport Beach, which is kind of like Beverly Hills by the Sea, I knew that I had to be such an asshole to live there that I wanted nothing to do with it. So it really drove me, and I knew that I didn't want to be like any of my friends, you know, trying to be like Sid Vicious or whoever it was. I wanted to just become my own person. And once I left home, I knew that there was no place to fall, you know, which is an interesting thing. It wasn't that I couldn't move back and kiss up to my grandparents and say, well, I need a flat, any of this stuff. It was that there was no way that I could do it.
Because of how you feel about yourself.
Yeah, there was just no way that I could fail. There's no way I could kiss up and get a job. I used to work, you know, on the boats, it was cool, you know, like cleaning yachts when I was a teenager.
Right.
Or I would work as a plumber's apprentice or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And these people used to say, Anton, you're so good. Why don't you just drop this music thing? I'll get you a truck. You'll be able to buy a house. Be happy. And I'd be like, no way. You're fucking insane.
Well, that's really good that you've stuck to that, because obviously you've given us so much good music, and I think everybody should 100% do the same. I was an electrician's apprentice. That was going to be a career for me, and then because as well as doing the radio, I'm a stand-up comedian, so it's like I have kind of stayed, even though I don't do very well money-wise, I've stayed at it because that's what I want to do, even though I could go and earn money elsewhere.
And you can live with yourself.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
The interesting thing about it that the listeners have to know is you have to be realistic. It's like you could row your boat as fast as you want, but if you can't bail water, if it's leaking faster than it's coming in, you're going to sink. So you have to be realistic. Like, I can't tell you how many great drummers I've known in crap bands. they're in it because everybody gets along, but whatever ambition they have dies. They get to be out 30 and then they sell their drum set. I've just known a million
of
guys.
Of course, yeah.
You know?
And it is difficult, but I think you have to have the drive, and obviously, clearly, like, as well as the talent, you have to have the drive.
I see people picking really shit names for their bands. I don't care what kind of music The Cure would have ended up playing. Their name was so good. It's like, what is your ill? And here's The Cure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were bound to succeed with that name alone. And my record label, I try and tell people, I go, okay, I've learned something. I can sell a shitty record with a great cover, but I can't sell a great band with a bad cover. So I don't care what you think is good for you. It has to be decided outside of your opinion, you know,
right,
your opinion,
yeah.
Unless you come up with something, bingo, because everybody is visual, this social media mode of taking selfies, and it's just an overload. You just have to have an angle on everything.
I think that's so important. Like, people have to think about the look and the aesthetic, and that is just, you're absolutely right, that is just equally as important as being good.
There's all sorts of legs on this table because the media tells us what's good, and it's so important that we work together. It's like an ecosystem. I hate Jack White, you know, but I have so much respect that he's went out there and tried to help people, and he has such a brilliant thing, and people have to get back to that of helping out their mates. I tell people, don't worry about trying to get a gig in London. Go to a pub like the Kinks did and the Stones and just say, look, we're doing this thing once a month called Soundgasm or whatever the hell it is, and then make business card flyers and pass them out to pretty girls.
Yeah.
And have one band play. Nobody wants to hear 20 bands play. Have one band and play some records, even if it's Spotify, and just have a reason for people to come to the back room and move it around. And get outside of your neighborhood. That's the weird thing, too, is everybody's so tribal, and like somebody would be playing in Liverpool, like somebody insane is coming, right? It could be anybody, right?
Mm.
And I'll tell my mates in Manchester, you got to go see this band.
I'm not going over there.
No fucking way. And I'll be, what do you mean? It's literally $3.50 to get on a train in 30 minutes. They'll be like, no. The hatred. It's just crazy. We couldn't get any shows, so I started renting out Masonic Temple because it was pay to play in San Francisco, and that's how we started. And even before that, I did similar things of breaking into warehouse. It was like rave times, you know?
Yeah.
And I knew the older kid, like my friend Michael McFadden was a groove merchant that did Paul's Boutique with the Dust Brothers for the Beastie Boys. You know, I knew all these cats from Delicious Vinyl and all these older guys. So we were really into that, the danger of it with the bolt cutters and all that.
That's great.
I've always had this outsider desire just to make stuff happen, and sometimes it doesn't pay off. I used to bring these bands. I brought Bird Striking from China to open for us on a UK tour, and nobody even shows up for the opening slot, and it's just like such a humiliation.
I'll tell you what that is about in this country, is if it's not football, people are obsessed with alcohol, and they're like, well, we'll just go in the pub because it's cheaper, which is mental because you've already bought the ticket, and that's part of the whole thing, but that is a lot of people's mentality.
Finances, they've shut down thousands of pubs. Your grandfather used to be able to drink every night of the week because your grandma wasn't having it. And now people can't afford it.
I'm out, Dad.
Everything. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, they changed it. Beer in Germany is 50p at the shop. It's a couple euros to drink out. You know, so it's a totally different scene.
I'm going to pull you up on one thing, and it's up to you. You don't have to say. Just out of interest, why do you hate Jack White?
You know what? The Go. When he was in The Go, he always hated me. His whole deal got started by Long Gone John. I was business partners with Greg Shaw, who got Long Gone John from Sympathy for the Record Industry, set him up. Because Greg was the king of the underground,
right?
Bomp Records. And I was business partners with him. Jack hated me from square one. In Dick, he slashed our tour shit. Now, Meg totally loved us and still loves us, dated my drummer.
Right.
But Jack has been a prick to us out of jealousy. Of course, he surpassed us. Your goal is sheer fame and rock and roll and an acknowledgement and having your song Seven Nation Army and fucking every footy and sports match around the world. Man, he passed me up by miles, right? But that's never been my goal.
Sure.
I wanted to enter the popular lexicon as a guy who did something, which was make it okay for people to play music in a folk thing. In the way I got triggered by the post-punk people.
Yeah.
See, because Paul McCartney and all the 60s guys never showed me shit about how to play music because I didn't have a grandpa playing folk music next to me. I taught myself how to play piano, but I never thought I could do it. I loved Depeche Mode, but never saw that coming. Never saw that they would sell 100,000 tickets to see them at the Rose Bowl. Legitimately. That wasn't like a record company like giving them away. That's 100,000 people in Los Angeles dying to see Depeche when they're at their peak. That is crazy. That's bigger than Wembley. That is crazy big. And they are that big. They are massive. I never thought that was going to happen. I never thought the DJ thing was going to happen. I never thought Katy Perry was going to make it past a different I Kissed a Girl. There's a lot of things I never saw that would happen. I'm on a different frequency.
Ian Boltzmann on Foobar Radio.
You there, Johnny?
Yeah.
You're right, mate. You're in a funny mood today, aren't you? I asked you to do a video earlier on and you just said no. You just went no.
I just wanted to see your reaction if you got a flat no from me.
Nat, you met Nat before.
Hi, Nat.
I met you when you came in years ago, actually.
I came in years ago. Yeah, I couldn't listen. I can't listen to the show and ring yet because apparently I'm sober playing records backwards.
Right.
I might end up possessed.
Well, here's the thing. Nat was sat opposite me when I got that text from you. You kept saying, what are you laughing at, outside.
It's because you were texting and you did that thing of laughing, but you wouldn't say why. It was quite annoying.
Well, so I was messaging him back, calling him a prick, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah, but I was equally impressed by your response. I hauled myself out to you.
Yeah. I spent a day yesterday doing charity work for you, and I asked you for one thing for a friend today.
And one thing that could actually, you know, it's like a pension plan.
Yeah, it really is. So what is Red Dwarf, the Red Dwarf fan club? Everyone know, they're the loveliest people in the world. They're really, really lovely. Me and Bev, Johnny's PA, were meant to get Johnny to do a video yesterday at the Bowls.
Totally. She's a friend who became a PA.
She's your PA now as well, right?
She's still my PA.
Oh, no, well, he wants her. Good point.
He does.
Good point. And thank you for raising it.
Right.
He wants her.
Go on.
Ian.
Yes.
Didn't Bev meet you drive past Norsley Road and suddenly you went off her?
Right.
What's this?
Here's what happened the other week. I was at Johnny's house, which I often am when he's not there. We'd been
Don't text me saying you're going to my drinks cabinet.
Yeah, which is what I did. I'd met Bev for brunch, which she insists on calling it. I didn't know the way back from where we were to Johnny's house. And she directed me, past Nosey Road, which is Saint's old ground, which has been knocked down. I don't like that, and I won't go there.
Why?
Because I don't want to see where it was, where I spent that many years.
It deeply upsets him.
It genuinely upsets me.
I like Bev for doing that.
And I was Bev didn't know this, right? So she's
But nothing gives me more pleasure than to see Ian in discomfort.
Yeah, me too, Johnny, me too.
but you know, there's certain boundaries that you just talk about.
Is that one? Would you be upset too?
I will avoid the fast route.
He understands.
Many times, the crispy cod has been avoided because Ian...
That's chiffy.
an inferior chippy.
Yeah.
Miles away from the former ground. You know what? We really need to do this podcast.
I know, mate, we absolutely do. We're going to do...
What's your podcast?
Me and Johnny, we're going to...
Insult each other?
I rang
Ian after I'd seen...
Last Jedi.
We didn't rip it apart. We just had questions.
Okay.
That we posed to each other.
Late at night.
No, we wanted to put it on as a charity event.
Oh, well, that was Force Awakens, wasn't it?
So, Force Awakens.
We wanted to do... You said you thought we might be able to get Sidney Wilson, telling us what you thought, to show the film.
Yeah.
We'd pause the film.
But we called it Playing False, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, he just came up with that title himself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called If It Ever Does Well in America. Yeah. I came up with that title.
Yeah, Playing False. Copyright Johnny Vegas.
Ian, what's the thing that you say about Star Wars? Because you mentioned this on the show, that Johnny says something about if you're going out with a woman or something and she doesn't like...
We had a conversation once where
I'm not going to go into my recent emotional, but when we first met she bought me two action figures.
Oh, that's not what Ian said.
All right, go on. What are you on about then?
Ian, you say.
It was many, many years ago where you'd said to me, I can't even remember who it was, so it was someone, you know, and I've been fond of people that you've dated and stuff, or married or whatever. I don't think I've known anyone particularly well, but...
That was well covered.
Yeah, no, but I've not slagged anyone off.
People you've dated or married or whatever.
No, but I remember years ago, and this is a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, of you saying to me, oh, I wish I could remember who it was so I could even just text you the name now, but I can't remember who it was. They'd not seen Star Wars and you watched Star Wars together and they were a bit indifferent to it. And I remember you talking to me as if, like, that was a real game changer. Do you even remember that?
I've learned to move on from that.
Yeah.
They were so indifferent, they fell asleep at Tatooine.
Okay, so you'd rather they either liked it or didn't like it than be indifferent to it, right?
There are two films that I think set the standard for the relationship for me. One is Star Wars, and that's not a game changer.
Okay.
Because I acknowledge I'm a geek, and the other one is Kez.
Okay.
Kez. Okay. I prefer Kez to Star Wars. Is that? I don't know if that's a bad or a good thing if I had to choose.
But can I ask you, when you watch Kez, you know the scene where the in the headmaster's office.
Yeah.
Do you cry or laugh at that?
Good question. That's a really good question.
Oh no, I don't want to say more leaning.
Just tell the truth.
Crying more than laughing.
Well, yeah, you see, you always cry. I laugh because it's a fond remembrance of cruel times within our educational system. Where you going? And do you know in that scene, he actually told them that they weren't going to get caned, and then he told the guy to cane him.
Ooh, okay.
So the reactions are real. That lad at the end when he goes, "Holy fuck." The big lanky lad, watch your back when he goes, "Oh, you fuck." So when the lad at the end starts crying, he's going, "Please, sir, I've just got a message." Where were the other regular little cigarette factory? That was me.
There we go.
There's nothing worse than putting on your favourite film too early on in a relationship and then watching them to see how they're reacting to a film.
Which is what
because
you
that's
do.
Like having the FBI sat next to you.
That's
if you meet a guy, come on, because we can all learn from this. What's your two films that you would show them to give you a kind of... This is where the relationship's going.
It's definitely going to be a John Hughes film. Probably Breakfast Club.
Right, okay.
Well, that's already a problem.
Can you wait till you watch it before you give your reaction?
Have you seen it, even?
Of course he has.
I've watched it loads of times.
What, do you not like it?
It was just a combination of... I wanted to be all three of them. All parts.
Oh.
Some of all.
Okay.
And I was kind of the geek, but I wasn't the geek. And I wasn't quite the jock.
Hang on, go back.
Because my dad never put cigarettes out on me, and my brother did.
No, but but go back. You just said the phrase, "I wasn't quite the jock." So don't think you could pass that under the fucking radar, mate.
All right.
I wasn't quite the jock.
Don't you forget about me.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I would argue that The Breakfast Club is a film that you can pretend to really adore and manipulate getting into a relationship. Films that shut it down show you...
I'd pick something from David Lynch then, because that would be like Blue Velvet or something, or Wild at Heart.
I'd be out the door before you could pull the word.
But you can't pretend to...
You'd have to fucking climb past me, mate.
Fall back in with an oxygen mask going, "Don't look at me." This is like our version of Desert Island, where we're not copying anything.
Okay, well, I really love John... Well, I used to love, not the films anymore. John Cusack is probably one of my favourite actors.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm right with you on that.
Thank you. So, okay. I'm going to say,
it's going well, this one.
And there was someone else Nick Helm, in fact, who didn't like the film, so I may not speak to him again, even though he does a show. Gross Point Blank.
Nick Helm didn't like Gross Point Blank.
Gross Point Blank was brilliant.
Amazing, right? Okay. He was like, it's a 7 out of 10 film. Like, it's a 10 out of 10 film.
Perfect film.
Thank you. That's what I said. Perfect film.
This is quite nice.
Yeah. No, that was... Oh, God, it got to be quirky, relationships. And, on a very selfish level for you and me, you move away, you do some of yourself, you come back to your own town, and you've changed. Now, you see, if you put that movie on, I'd sit there and go... I'll have another coffee.
Oh, okay,
I'll have another coffee or another wine. You go, what a brilliant...
It would never be coffee, it'd always be wine. I don't have coffee.
Okay. Based on that, what would you do?
I'm really enjoying this ongoing flirtation between you and my producer.
It's not flirtation.
It's not flirtation.
It's not flirtation. It's actually falling in love.
Shut up.
No,
you, Johnny.
It's nice.
Ian.
It's nice. Keep doing it.
So, if you came back, here's when you're going on a right wild card. Oh, God, he says, forgetting the title of it.
It's some really loud music. I can't hear what you're saying.
You can't hear it.
What would you do if somebody came back and went, "I know you don't like zombie films, but just give Zombieland a go"?
Zombieland? Oh, no, I agree. I don't particularly like that film. That's the one with that film I do with the... Can we say
Bill
that?
Bill Murray does the perfect...
That was a secret. That's a big spoiler. But they know they're making a sequel to that with all four main characters coming back for it.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Gore?
Go.
Do you remember the film?
With the director of Swingers, that film? Yeah, with Katie Holmes. That's the guy I watched that
recently. Yeah, that's the one.
That's one of my favourite films. I watched that film recently with Timothy Olyphant, Katie Holmes.
That's the film that somebody I was feeling very close to fell asleep in the first 10 minutes and you're going, No, you know what? You have a good film mind.
Thank you, so do you.
God almighty, this will be my worst thing. honestly, this would be like the worst thing that could happen to me is if you two got together. That would be horrific.
We're not getting together. No. We're just sharing the love of cinema.
That's why I said. We like that's films. Why I said the
all
word.
All we want to do is co-present the next Empire Awards.
Well, look, it's been lovely chatting with you, mate.
No, don't wrap it up. We're talking about films. Well, all right. I'm asking you now, can all three of us, not to further my corporate position, can we all go to a certain theme park for a day?
To where? West Drayton? Where's that?
Yeah, Thorpe Park. West Drayton? What's in West Drayton?
I thought you said West Drayton.
We were getting on so well, and then you went, yeah, let's go on to West Drayton.
I don't even know where that is.
There'll be three of us putting 50p in a motorised camel.
Sorry, Thorpe Park, I'm very up for that, yeah.
West Drayton! It's the first thing on everyone's shelves, man! Hi, kids, I was thinking of taking you to Legoland. Dad, can we go to West Drayton? We've got a retail outlet. Mum will be happy. You can drink heavily. And we'll just ride the postman past. West Drayton! You're not allowed to say it normally anymore. Even if somebody can cry. I'm a bit lost. Can you dive into West Drayton? You go, West Drayton! Hey, and as they leave, as they pull off in a hurry, ride the camel!
Where is West Drayton?
I don't think
where
I should come to this.
Where is it, Johnny?
I don't know if it exists. I think you just created it.
Okay, well, I thought...
You went to a conversation because you're feeling left out, and you go... West Drayton! Where's that? You're going, I don't really know.
Okay, Thorpe Park, let's go.
Don't follow up with West Drayton! It might not take this.
So it is, apparently. It's a suburban town in Hillingdon, in
just,
London.
Just for the record, me and
all
Johnny...
All right, we've got
Johnny,
on the staircase.
I will actually fade you.
I want to go to Thorpe Park. Let's all go to Thorpe Park.
Me and Johnny were talking about doing a podcast. Me and Johnny were saying we're going to do a podcast that's film commentaries.
If you shout West Drayton, I'll go, Moss Side, please!
She doesn't know, well, there you go, she doesn't know
what
that is.
I know what Moss Side is.
Moss Isley.
Moss Isley. You don't know what Moss Side is!
She doesn't know what Moss Isley is. She's never seen Star Wars, mate. You are getting too excited.
No, I thought she said Moss Side, and we got outside of Manchester.
Yeah, she did. She said she knows what Moss Side is. But you said Moss Isley.
I don't know who he is.
Yeah, I said Moss Isley. Hey, Moss Isley, Moss Side, Moss Isley, Moss Side. Let's call the whole thing up.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio. Miguel Barclay, good name. Yeah,
thank you.
It's a very good name.
Spanish.
Yeah, yeah, half Spanish. So my mum's Spanish, my dad's English.
Ah.
So I've got the English surname and the Spanish first.
And kind of a Spanishy look to you as well, I can see that.
Oh, I've just come back off holiday.
What it is. So, Miguel, welcome to the studio, the FUBAR Studios.
Yeah.
Explain to us a bit about £1 meals, how you came to prominence, how it all happened.
Oh, it's a bit of a weird one, to be honest. So basically, I used to do this sort of silly game I used to play at home where I used to just see what I could cook for a pound. So it was a little bit like, I don't know, a bit of an extension of the game where you open the fridge and try and make what you can from what you got.
Ready, steady, cook.
Basically, it was a ready, steady, cook, but my version of it. But
what was in your fridge?
Yeah, no. I was quite into spreadsheets and stuff at the time. So basically, for me, it was nice to sort of use an ingredient, but only use part of it, and then calculate how much it cost, and then add the whole meal up at the end. And it was just a fun thing I did at home. And then I just started posting it on Instagram, and within 6 months, it sort of turned into a thing, and then got a book deal.
Well, and see, it's really the way to go at the minute, is it seems to be through social media.
Yeah.
I love the book. Is this your first book? You've done two.
So I've done
the first one.
Yeah, so the first one...
I want this one, because I've seen something I want to cook.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I wanted to make it so that every time you flick a page, you're thinking, I could cook that, and I want to cook that. So there's nothing like really weird and fancy, because a lot of people do cookbooks just to show off, but mine was a cookbook just to sort of inspire people to get into cooking.
So what's your background with
not cooking? So I was obsessed with cooking in my personal life, but I was into sort of like computers and the internet and stuff like that. But I used to basically work so that I could just buy ingredients and go home and cook. So I used to take the afternoon off work and then maybe cook 4 or 5 dishes, which sounds a little bit weird, and at the time it was a bit weird because I was the only one eating it, but it turned out into something actually that paid off in the end.
Yeah, clearly you got two books.
Did you use the calculator? Say, right, that is 75p's worth of food.
Yeah,
I need to add another 25p to it. How do you work it out?
Well, for me, I'm quite analytical, so everything I used, I just calculated it. But for me, that's fun. Like, for other people, it isn't fun. But the thing that makes it fun is that they see what I've done. So not everyone is going to get a calculator out when they start cooking. But that's just the way my mind worked, and that's what pressed my buttons.
So to clarify, it's not a meal that will cost you £1 from scratch, is it? You have to have certain things.
No. If you flick onto any page, whatever is in the photograph, the whole thing added up to £1.
No way, not this casserole.
Yeah, 100%.
Wait.
So I can't see.
But if you bought a spice or something, that might be more than £1 to start with.
Oh, yeah. But you're only using a spoonful of it, so that's probably costed at
15. That's what I mean.
15.
That's about
15p. But what I do is all the ingredients I use up in the next dish, in the next dish, in the next dish.
Yep.
So if you actually look at the ingredients I've used, it's actually quite a small sort of niche thing.
What are you looking at there, Lizzie?
Nice Spanish
chorizo
really
stew.
Really simple. That is literally just a bit of chorizo, some chopped tomatoes, a little bit of spinach at the end, and some chickpeas. I mean, you can get a whole thing of chickpeas for 30p.
Yeah, that's true.
So 15p with the chickpeas in that photo.
Are you much of a cook, Lizzie?
I love cooking.
You do?
People don't really know this, but I do actually love to cook. I cooked the most amazing Thai curry last night.
I'm looking forward to my invite.
That cost me more than £1, let me tell you.
So obviously you don't always just eat for £1, do you? Personally?
It's my style of cooking, so I would never really, I don't know, roast a half a pig in the garden or something like that. Like, for me, I like to just knock something up quickly. So everything in these books is pretty much 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of an extension of what I do at home.
So what's your favourite dish? If you say, right, I've got a little bit of this, I'm going to knock that out.
My favourite right now is probably these chicken wings that I do. So I sort of marinate the chicken wings like Chinese style. But then what I do is I cook them on top of chunks of sweet potato. And then what happens is, like, all the chicken fat and all the marinade and everything drips into the potato, and then you sort of mash it, and that's sort of
mash the potato.
Yeah. I've got a picture of it in the new book. Basically, it's like a mashed potato, bed of mashed potato, but it's like bright orange because it's a sweet potato, and then it's got the wings on top of it. But that's one of the key things with £1 meals, is that you've got to find ways of using
the same thing in multiple meals.
Yeah, and like the chicken fat, normally you just throw that away, but I'm actually using it to flavour these potatoes.
Okay.
That sounds rather calorific.
I have It's definitely not to try to lose weight.
No.
I have to say, do you know what, when I went vegetarian 2 years ago, I found that, and everyone was like, it's going to be more expensive buying fresh vegetables. It's not more expensive, it's actually cheaper.
Is it?
People have some kind of,
I mean,
if you use
healthy?
It all, if
What's
you use
healthy?
It all.
Yeah. A healthy £1 dish that you do?
A healthy one. I've got a lot of vegetarian one in the new book. So the new book's called Fast and Fresh. So there's like a lot of like asparagus. One of my favourite is cauliflower. So
me too.
Yeah, but do you eat the green bits of leaf?
I do. I never used to before I was vegetarian, but now I do.
So I used to throw those away. And then I remember one day thinking it looked quite delicious because I roasted a whole cauliflower, and then I just nibbled on it. And then I was like, oh, I hope this isn't poisonous. And then I nibbled on it a bit more, and I was like, I want to eat all this. So I had to Google it, and I was like, you can eat it.
Yeah, you can.
It's the most delicious part of the cauliflower.
I put it in curries and stuff now. So, and people are always like, what is this? You're like,
vegetable curry.
Yeah.
But what can you do with a cauliflower? Can you tell me?
What can you do?
Is roast the whole thing.
All in?
Yeah, you can roast it all as one cauliflower, or you can chop it into bits and roast the whole thing, but you've got to keep the green leaves on the outside, and then you just put a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of salt, and a little bit of pepper, and this is something that ordinarily you would throw away, and it is the best part. It's better than the white part of the cauliflower.
And then what do you do with it?
Just make like what I call like a warm salad, where you sort of like mix it all together.
It's really, really nice.
Really nice.
And what can you put on a cauliflower? I'm thinking cheese, because cauliflower
cumin. I like to put cumin on a cauliflower.
Yeah, you can sort of jazz it up. But yeah, cauliflower cheese. I mean, I'm a big fan of macaroni cheese, and basically just use the same recipe and then throw some cauliflower in. So when I have like a roast on a Sunday, it's not a roast without a cauliflower cheese.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
I'm going to put my whole cauliflower in the oven.
You should do it, babes. Honestly, you won't regret it.
Do it.
And it's cheap. It's very cheap, and you get a lot out of it.
Yeah. And
it's tasty with the leaves on, okay.
Yeah, I mean, all right, basically, if you're going to put the whole thing in, then it's going to take slightly longer to cook. So what I would do is put it in like a tight-fitting, so like saucepan, and it sort of shields the side. So like you literally put it in a saucepan and put it in the oven. It sounds really, really, really weird, but it works. And then it shields the side so the green bits don't burn. Yeah.
You're going to this Sunday.
I'm excited. I want to go home and cook.
The Hannah Michael Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
I have the Midnight Beast with me. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey, hello. Unison and everything.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
Are you sweaty? Did you run here?
Yeah, very much. Just a little bit.
You have wine.
I have wine. Shall we crack open the wine?
Should we?
Yeah.
This is just how it goes here. If you don't know, hi, I'm Hannah. I make YouTube videos and sometimes I get drunk in them, and so that's why we have the wine.
That's what it's for.
Yeah. I do a little show on my YouTube channel called Drunk Advice, which you boys are going to be in very soon.
We're coming up on it, right?
We are.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sitting on that footage for a good month.
Edit that.
I'm too scared to look at it, to be honest. But we've got loads of fun stuff coming up on the show, including a live Drunk Advice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you can get in touch with your questions if you need any advice. It can be about anything. Sex, love, relationships, school.
Drew's already emailed. He was emailing on the way. All his questions.
He's like, how do I be on time for things?
Oh, yeah? And there's the dig. So you've got to get it in.
If you listened to me, we would have been here on time.
That's true, actually.
Was it your fault, Drew?
No, it wasn't my fault. No. We would have been here on time if they'd listened to me.
So whose fault was it then?
Ashley's.
I would say it was going to be Ashley.
What? Yeah, I'll take that.
Oh, boy. We've got loads of fun stuff. I haven't told you like what we're doing. I just invited you and
I like that. Yeah. I like that we didn't see you until we were straight on air.
I know. No prep, nothing. But we've got a game called Innuendo or Innuendon't.
Great. Ooh.
Shitter Twitter.
Awesome.
Yeah. Nice. The fuck you saying, mate? These are titles I've come up with, by the way. These aren't real games, but they will be now. We're going to turn them into real games. It's going to be grand.
Excellent.
But do you guys want to introduce yourselves properly?
Of course.
Okay, so.
So we are the Midnight Beast. I'm Ash.
I'm Drew.
And I am Steph. We're a three-piece, I guess, comedy music act. And we've been together now for nearly 7 years.
Nearly seven years.
I've been a super-duper Midnight Beast fan for maybe five of those years. I have told you this before when we've been drunk at parties.
Yeah.
But if I could go back in time and tell, like, 18-year-old me that she'd be friends with the Midnight Beast, she was like, no, what?
That's awesome.
What was your introduction to Midnight Beast?
Ooh, probably TikTok.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
And then, but actually, Summer in the City was the first time I ever saw you guys perform live.
Really?
Nice.
Yes.
And you came on stage as well. That was very surprising for me. So I turned around, see you waving around a wand.
Well, so I wasn't expecting to go on stage either. I'm still not recovered from it.
No,
I've
seen
them. Really?
Yeah.
You're totally burnt out. It's so good, though.
But I'd, like, just finished my last thing, and I was like, I'm so dead. I need to go to my hotel room and change and shower and all these things. And I was walking past the main stage, and I heard Lesbian Friends, I heard you performing. I was like, oh my god. And so I, like, snuck my head round just to be like, I want to just experience this. Oh. And then Becky was like, Hannah, are you going to get on stage, wave this wand around and dance? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And I had, like, all these bags of stuff and, like, my coat on, and I was like, okay, fine. And I was like a zombie.
You smashed it. You did it very well.
You guys smashed it. You were really brilliant.
Waving.
It was so much fun. It was really wicked. Yeah, we haven't played live in ages, so it was a nice kind of, like, thing to be back. And we've never done Summer in the City. That was our first one.
Yeah, how did you find it? That was, like, my fifth.
Wow.
We loved it.
It was great.
It was a shame we hadn't done it before, I think.
Yeah.
But now you're, like, fully in the YouTube community.
Yeah.
We've been accepted. It's quite nice. 6 years later.
We've taken you on. First, I want to, like, initiate you.
Okay.
That's the right word, isn't it?
I think so.
To the show, because Innuendo or Innuendon't, which is a game we're going to play, is based around phrases from Urban Dictionary.
Okay.
All right.
But for your initiation, we need to find out what your names mean on Urban Dictionary.
Are we in the Urban Dictionary?
Well, everyone is.
Ashley,
do you want to go first? Or
Steffi,
do you want to go type in Ashley? I see you going to the computer.
I'm going to type in just Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley.
Okay.
And we're going to see what it means.
Boom.
Oh.
Right,
a badass motherfucker who won't take no shit off nobody.
Just saying, I have looked up myself in the dictionary before. So I'm in Ashley Horn, you might get something different.
But look at this quote. That girl is about to get the Ashley knocked out of her.
That's
not right. Don't know about that.
I want to know what just Ash is.
Ash.
Let's sign up.
Let's see.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
That prick from Pokemon.
Agreed.
Yeah, agreed.
He's great.
I used to fancy Ash from Pokemon.
Oh, really? What was it about him that made you...
His name.
Oh, really? The name.
No. His cartoonness, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
I used to fancy the female hedgehog Misty. From Sonic the Hedgehog.
Ooh, yeah. I can see
she
that.
She was hot.
I mean, that's an animal and a cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, I used to fancy, and what's his face, Robin Hood the Fox.
Yeah.
And then the female fox of that.
Maid Marian. Yeah.
Maid Marian.
And then, have you guys seen Zootropolis?
Yes.
The fox in that, voiced by Nick Bateman. Oh, my God.
And that's pretty recent.
Still as a 24-year-old, just like... It's the animals. They really do it for me. Right, boys, let's do you as well.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Stefan.
Let's.
All right,
here we go.
Stefan.
Oh, wow.
It's a long one.
A sex machine, some may call him.
Ooh.
Usually has bitches talking about how good looking he is and how badly they want to suck his dick. And having cum in their eyes.
Wow.
That's
Drew, are you writing this?
That's
all very
like
sexual.
You.
Have you seen the caption below?
No. OMFG, Stefan Bust. No.
What did you say?
Steph, do you want to read that?
Stefan busted in my eye last night. It tastes like Coca-Cola. Mmm, good. I love him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Good.
That is way with words there. Yeah.
Hashtag all night long, apparently.
Oh, right.
All of you have got shortened names that you use just as much, so...
Yeah.
So Steph is beautiful body, beautiful eyes, beautiful personality. Oh, no one else like her. Once you get to... Once you know Steph, you'll never forget. Right, Drew, your turn. I think we're going to have to do Andrew and then we'll do Drew.
All right.
Okay. This is how it works.
This is how it rolls.
Ultra cool. Ooh. Usually hot or at least sort of cute.
Sort of cute.
Awesome sense of style, music and humour. Sexy, awesome kisser.
I can vouch for that.
Very nice.
Wait, computer says no.
What about Drew then?
What about Drew? Let's find out what...
This is insane.
Drew.
Courageous, heroic, maliciously sly. Ooh. Interesting. Witty, funny, outrageously good looking. And then in capitals, outrageously good looking. Apparently God's gift to the world.
Oh, I want that one. That's good. Well, that is amazing.
You don't want people
Someone's
to want you to
day.
Come
no,
in their
I
eyes.
No, I don't. I want that.
I don't get it.
I know. Mate, come on.
Oh, catchphrases. Wow.
Love
God,
that.
Urban Dictionary is a funny place.
What does that quote mean? Drew is like Dan Tat, yellow and sweet and good to eat. What is that?
What is Dan Tat? Are we going to have to...
It must be an American thing.
Who knows?
I like that one. That's made my day.
Yeah.
Aw, you're nice. Welcome.
Thanks, Hannah.
Very nice.
That's nice.
Should we do my name?
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's see what that says.
Well, are we going to do Hannah and then Han?
Yeah, what's
Some people call me Han, but... A girl with class, grace, poise, and elegance.
Ooh.
I'll take that.
Audrey Hepburn was a real Hannah.
I don't feel like that right now because I'm wearing an incredibly short skirt on a stool. I didn't think this through.
Elegance.
Yeah.
Nice. What about Han?
Han. I don't know. Let's see.
Han.
Oh, it's come up with Hans. But that's a person who is constantly badass mofo.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
I mean,
there
I'll take go. That kind yeah. of, although it's not really my name.
No, I reckon we should buy the mug of each of our names. You can do it, right?
Or a t-shirt.
You can buy a mug?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Or
we can save our money, couldn't we?
Sponsored by Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, exactly. Buy the mug.
Buy the mug.
Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne on FUBAR Radio.
Paul Oakenfield, hello.
How you doing, buddy?
Mate, I'm not doing as well as you because apparently you've just landed from Ibiza.
I have actually, yeah. I was playing Cream last night.
Oh, man. How was it? How are you feeling?
Yeah, it was great, actually. It's good to be back on the island, and I've been going every year for many years. So, always look forward to going there.
I bet you have. I've actually got I'm going to be going out there for the first time at the start of October. A friend of mine is, he's invited me over for a closing party. I mean, I didn't even know too much about this, but his friends apparently own a club over there called Space.
Okay.
Which is closing down. So you've been you would have been out at Ibiza a lot of times. How do you feel having somewhere, a legendary venue like Space, closing down?
It's a shame that Space is closing, really. It's been an important, iconic club on the island, and, it will be missed.
Shame. So you had a good time there while you were there anyway? You're hungover now, or what's going on?
No, I'm not hungover, no.
No.
No, but it was a late night. I mean, I didn't DJ until 3 in the morning, so trying to get you out, finish, get back to your hotel, it is pretty late.
Yeah. Do you find it exhausting? I DJ myself, but I just DJ in clubs and bars and shit like that. So, like, for me, easy business. But how do you go, like, when you've got a grueling touring schedule, when you've got to DJ so late and you're always in an environment that's very conducive to wanting to party and stuff like that? Do you find it hard to pull yourself away from it, or?
I think it's a balance, to be totally honest with you. Sometimes when I come back to London and see my friends who want to have a drink with them after the show, but generally you turn up, play, and you leave because your schedule is pretty grueling.
Apart from DJing and producing, you've also been this has been for a little while now, you've been making a lot of scores for films and stuff like that, like big films.
Yeah.
You know, talking like Bourne Identity, Matrix, Shrek, stuff like that. Like, how did you get into that? And are you still doing more of that?
I was asked to score a movie called Swordfish with John Travolta, Halle Berry.
Of course.
And that was the first film I worked on, and through working on that film, I ended up moving to Los Angeles many years ago now. So when I do return to the UK, I'm really excited, looking forward to seeing my friends and family, and then touring all over Britain. So it's good to be back, but pretty grueling.
Yeah, man, 100%. Do you think, because I know that you, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you started DJing around sort of Covent Garden, like in the 70s, spinning funk and stuff like that. Do you think...
In the 80s, actually.
In the 80s, yeah. Do you think you'll ever go back and just spin a few funk records just for a bit of fun? That's you?
No, I don't think so.
Ah, fair enough. Too big of a superstar, mate. Big of a superstar. So what is going on? What's been happening? Are you just sort of currently on tour at the moment, or you got a few other things?
Well, finishing up a record and then jumping into it, so looking forward to it.
Where is some of your favourite spots to DJ or clubs?
Amnesia in Ibiza is one of them, and Cream do their residency there every Thursday. That's one of my favourites. Zouk in Singapore, another one. Yeah, I've got a few good places that I really enjoy.
Bless. When you're at a festival like Creamfields, when you got so many acts and so many other big trance and dance music DJs and stuff like that, do you guys kind of get into a little bit of a bubble while you're there and maybe bounce around a few ideas? Is it a good networking place as well? I mean, not that you need to network, being like, you know, at your level, but is it a good place to go, fuck, man, maybe when we're in the same town next time, we should jump in the studio or have some big collaborations come backstage?
Yeah, and it's good to see and reconnect with colleagues that you haven't seen in a while. Yes, for sure.
Brilliant, man. Nice one. Any last words for all your fans and friends and family back in the UK?
Yeah, just a big thank you, as always. Thanks for the support. I'm much appreciated and looking forward to seeing everyone.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Miss Banks is in the building. Woo! Oh my gosh, I've been trying to get you in this studio for so long.
Yeah, I'm really whack sometimes when it comes to radio.
No, you're just a busy woman.
Defo, really, really busy.
You look absolutely incredible, as always.
Thank you.
Your hair's looking amazing, pink.
Thank you.
Pink to make the boys wink, they say.
Yeah, I didn't even know that, but it's definitely working.
You can keep that, babe. I didn't make it up, though, to be fair.
I give you, like, a little credit in my song the next time I use it.
So, talking of songs, come through. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It's so huge.
Thank you.
The beat, everything about it is so sick.
Yeah.
I've been watching you for a while. I'm a really big fan. This year has been, when I say this year, I mean over the last year, it's been huge for you. Like, yes. So many big things happening.
I've just been working really hard. I've been in with some amazing producers, and me and my team are just doing the best we can to make sure that everything is as perfect as it can be. So the quality and the levels are just rising every time. It's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm really ready to make my mark, so.
But it also feels like you're super humble. You're like, oh, I don't know, we'll see what happens. Like,
I'm glad that that's how people feel, because in my mind, I'm constantly gassing myself up and still trying to stay leveled. But yeah, like, no, I don't know. I've met some amazing stars, like big, big celebrities that people like would die to meet, and they're so cool and they just make you feel like you're the same level as them. So much humility, and that's the type of people I aspire to be like. So thank God, you know, like I'm just, yeah.
So, okay, you can't leave that alone. Who's the best?
Probably Drake.
Yeah. Oh my God, did you meet Drake?
Yeah, he was lovely. I met him early last year.
Okay, talk me through it. What happened?
We was at the table and he came over to offer Steph a drink because, yeah, we all went with her to the after party, and then he literally went to everyone on our table and introduced himself and shook our hands.
Oh my God.
And he was like, do you want anything? He had his drink, Virginia Black, and he was offering it to us. And I was just thinking, how is Drake coming to introduce himself? One, shaking our hands. Two, offering me a drink. Three, like, oh, you cool? You good, huh? Like, that's crazy. So, yeah, that was really lovely because, like, I don't know, sometimes when you meet some big stars, you expect them to, like, be a bit stuck up. Mm-hmm. And I've met, like, people that are probably smaller than him that act like they're bigger. So you don't know what you're going to expect when you meet certain celebrities. But, yeah, he was really lovely.
I guess you give out what you get back what you give out, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And did you have a drink from him? Did you try his Golden Virginia or whatever
Virginia,
it's called?
Yes, and it was amazing. I don't like whiskey, but I loved it, and I was waved.
Yeah.
And I was just in the car thinking, oh my God, I met Drake. My head's spinning, but it was good. Yeah.
That sounds like a good experience of big celebrity. That's definitely like a massive celebrity.
Yeah.
You went, like, straight in deep there.
In it, someone I'm a big fan of, but before I met him, I've met loads of other artists that are amazing. I've opened up and supported a lot of artists.
Yeah, you've worked with loads of amazing artists and been running with loads of amazing artists for time, but that's because your talent is high and you're doing everything right.
Thank you.
You know, like, your fire in the booth was unreal. And again, you came across so humble and, like, chill and just lovely, and it was like, it must be so exciting for you and, like, hard to control how exciting it is all the time, but even these little steps that you're taking, it's just huge. It's massive.
It is amazing. And sometimes you don't realize it when it's happening, but you look back after and think, oh my God, like, I've done this, like, this happened, I met this person, you know, I performed here. Yeah, it's dope. I love every minute of it.
Well, I think that about you. I've been so excited to have you on the show because I'm such a big fan. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, I love that. Well, I'm really happy I came now.
We can't not talk about your new best friend, Nicki Minaj. Obviously, I'm so jealous. I was actually watching it happen as well, live on the Twitter and all that.
Yeah.
When it was going down, and I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. Now, obviously, I'm sure you've talked about this loads, but I do want to know how you felt when this first happened. When you first got that Twitter notification where it came on your phone, when you were like, whoa.
I was thinking, this is crazy. Sorry, just taking my Invisalign is so trouble.
Oh my God, your teeth look sick though. That's Invisalign.
Getting much better. Oh yeah,
no,
it works.
I had them as well. They're really sick, aren't they? Yeah.
I'm happy. Can't wait to be done with them.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj just casually tweets you.
Casually?
Did you click on her profile to be like, is this
a
real one?
I was just like, this is some bull. Like, this is some bullshit. Like, seriously, like, I woke up, I just saw loads of congratulations. I was thinking, why are people congratulating me? I haven't dropped anything. I haven't won any awards.
I've just woken up.
I've literally just woke up. I'm getting congratulated for waking up. Amazing. Then I saw, someone saying, this is a Miss Banks lyric. And I was like, what? But I saw Nicki Minaj. All I'm saying is, I just didn't think it was real. Like, I was so hyped. And then I clicked her page and I saw that she had tweeted my lyric, and then she put a wink face, and I was thinking, Nicki, you're crazy, because you know that I'm going to see this and I'm going to be hyped. Like, you can smell your influence on me from, or like, overseas, how many miles away. You know I know who you are. You know I love you. Like, are you crazy? So, yeah, that was epic. And then I remember just tweeting about it, and I didn't actually at her, and she replied to my tweet. And I was like, you knew I was going to be hyped when I saw this. And then it was just, like, a constant back and forth all day. And I remember we was coming from Leeds to London, and I got Five Guys, and I was so excited. I couldn't eat it. Like, I couldn't eat. I just felt like, this is a dream. Like, is this real? Like, I've loved you for years. How you shouted me out. Yeah.
And if you turned down a burger for that, it was a serious situation.
Yeah, everyone knows I love food. Like, if I'm pissed off, you just know it's either I haven't really slept or I haven't eaten. And that's just it. Do you get me?
And you've always been quite vocal about how much you love Nicki as well in the past.
For ages. That's just crazy as well. Like, I saw that I tweeted her last year, August, when she was saying, I'm looking for girls to support me in the UK. I added her and I was like, reasons I should support you. A, I love you. Two, I'm popping. Three, no, B, C, you know, revert back to A and B.
Yeah.
And then, like, when someone retweeted it recently, I was like, oh my God, that's just crazy. Like, that's just manifestation. Like,
but seriously, it's literally, she obviously saw it.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe she saw it and hit your music up and was like,
she might have, because a few people was, like, favouring it and retweeting. And, you know, like, yeah, artists see stuff. Even sometimes when they've got, like, crazy mentions, you don't know, something can not randomly, but they could just come online at a time when you was in the mentions and, like, most recent.
And also, you've got a big following as well, so it's definitely way more likely that you would be seen as well.
Ian Boldsworth on Fubar Radio.
We're joined now by Donny Tourette. How are you, man?
I'm good, mate. You right?
I'm okay. I'm not so bad. I'm going to be absolutely upfront with you.
Oh, good.
About this. No, it's all right. I think it's okay. And I think this tells you about me as well as learning about you. I was told this afternoon that you were coming in.
Mm.
Please don't take this wrong at all. But I literally just went, fuck's sake. I went, I can't be fucking dealing with that. That was genuinely my response. And then I read on your press release that it said about Towers of London, about your band. Towers may have to rebuild a few bridges of their own as a result of their destructive past. So that's when I felt comfortable to tell you that, response. And I take people as a find them at the end of the day. But that was my response earlier on. With you doing stuff now, is that an issue?
I mean, I think your reaction is in the majority. I guess we rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way. We were young, you know, we're also off our heads. But you know what? We didn't hurt anyone. I think we just pissed people off. I think we got signed really early.
How old were you when you got signed?
Well, we were 23, but the band hadn't been going too long. We only had 4 songs. We hadn't, like, mastered our craft. We got given a ton of money from an American label, and we had 4 songs.
Yeah.
And so you get given that amount of cash, you think what it's all about is what you've been portrayed by the magazine, glamorization of, like, what being in a rock and roll band is. Isn't actually that. It's not about partying and going out and getting it. It's about making great music. And we went immediately on the back burner, and I think that it's kind of amazing. We actually did deliver an album, to be honest, and it's not amazing. It's not unbelievable that it wasn't, for me, the best album it could have been. And then Second Chances Are Hard to Come By, we did get one. We signed to another label, and then they were backed by Woolworths. They went bankrupt as we released our first single. Oh, and actually, our first label went bankrupt too.
I did hesitate to say what I said to you, because it's one of them that, like, for how long in one's life do you have to fucking talk about fucking Big Brother or Buzzcocks or anything? Do you know what I mean? All that sort of shit. As an interviewer, I don't want to do that either. I don't want to be obvious in terms of how I chat to people. My overriding memory of that period was of the swagger. And I think the problem with swagger is that's what you want your rock stars to be like.
Yeah, but you've got to back it up.
If you've not heard of them yourself in the first place, the swagger will rub you up the wrong way. Whereas if you're a fan of the band, the swagger, you fucking love that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then we did have fans of the band, and actually, I'm not trying to write off everything we did, because I do love, like, 5 songs on that album. Yeah. I'll stand by it. But ultimately, I don't think we were the best songwriters we could have been.
Okay.
Break it down. What's it really supposed to be about, writing great songs?
Of course. So how is it then, I'm looking at this from a human level, I think.
Mm.
I think I'm quite an empathetic person, and I think I will always think, well, what must that be like, that every interview you go to, or whatever interviews you do with that, that these things are dredged up again? Are you just sick to the fuck of it, or is it that your shoulders are back and you're like, no, I'll take that on the chin? That's
I think what's strange about it, it's such a small moment in
course.
Time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And really it goes to show, like, a small moment can have such a massive impact and affect you for the rest of your life. I mean, I went up, never mind the Buzzcocks, I had a nightmare. Do you know what it was? Confidence. I had no confidence.
You had no confidence?
No, I was, so basically, yeah, if you want to get into it, I guess the reason why all the bravado and the swagger existed, if I'm being honest, is because I was a scared fucking kid.
Yeah.
And so what did I do? I hit the bottle. My way to deal with it was go, well, shit, do I want to go on that? The Big Brother especially. And to deal with it, I'd drink a bottle of vodka before I went on.
Right, okay.
Now, all that does is make it worse.
Yeah.
At the time, you're going, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
Until you wake up the next day.
Yeah.
And then it's a bad idea, because you go out on a night on the piss with your mates, and, like, everyone wakes up with the fear, right?
Oh, of course.
And you're not the best version of yourself. So then you go, oh, fucking hell, you got to text a few mates. Sorry, I was a bit of a dickhead there. Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. It's all right. But you can't text 10 million people, can you?
Well, no, can I say that? I watched that show, and I saw all of them. And for me, there were other people on the show who may or may not have had a drink, I don't know, but didn't come across well. But although, you caused a bit of a stir, I thought actually you seemed, I found, quite endearing. I didn't think that you were a dick. I just thought it was quite funny and didn't
I can't
like...
really remember it, but
no,
I have a vague...
Neither
did
can
you,
I.
Did you climb out of there? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I went... Do you want to hear the story?
By all means.
Should I do it?
If you don't want to tell it, don't tell it.
If you're bored shitless with me, honestly, don't talk about it.
What happened was, they turned the screw straight away, so you'd put you in this hotel, because it was a big deal back then. It was in its heyday, I think. They put you in isolation, so the games begin before you go in, right? And I'd worked in TV before, and my sister worked in TV, so I was kind of aware of this stuff, right? I think they knew that I needed a drink to deal with the situation.
Okay.
And I, in my head, was thinking, that'll be what they do to make sure that I go in my most uncomfortable state.
Okay.
Right? So I told my manager to go down the shop and fill up 2 Lucozade bottles full of vodka, which he did, amazingly, or not. And then basically passed them off as Lucozade, went to the green room, drink. All I can hear is... people outside, boo. I'm used to be on stage with my band, with my gang of mates, right? And then I'm sat on my own with people I don't know, yeah, ready to go onto a show, which I wasn't born to do.
And also in front of a group of people who aren't your...
Not my crowd, right?
These people are going to be instantly judgmental. Yeah. And it could be your haircut.
And not forgetting, it was celebrity Big Brother, and I wasn't a big celebrity. That was like loose at best.
Yeah. It remained loose though.
It's thrown into the lion's den a bit, so I drank to get through it.
Yeah.
Blacked out before I went in. I had no recollection, didn't remember going in. I don't remember anything about it until I woke up the next day. Thought I was in hospital because of the beds, and then realised I wasn't. It was worse.
Fuck. Okay.
And I was in that show, comparing it to going out on a night with your mates and waking up and going, "Oh, that's a fucker," but you know, it's okay. But
yeah.
I mean, that was bad because you know the fear.
Well, it's sort of like
what happened. Yeah. What did you do? You could have done anything, you know.
It's like one
you
of your mates saying,
"In there, either of you to check." So no,
in modern day terms,
yeah,
I guess it's waking up and you've gone viral for all the fucking wrong reasons.
And also, you're in there for